Someone once said, you're either a missionary or you need one. And while that's overstated, because you can be both, our story this morning in the 8th chapter of Acts is a story of one of each, a missionary and a man who needed one. So as we listen to these words, as we listen to this story, may we hear in it God's word for our own stories. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, which means the queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home he was sitting in his chariot, and he was reading from the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. So Philip ran to the chariot, and he heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet, and he asked him, do you understand what you're reading? And he answered, how can I, unless someone explains it to me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now this is the passage of Scripture that the eunuch was reading. He was like a sheep led to slaughter, and a lamb before its shearer silent, and so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The man asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? And Philip began with the very passage of Scripture and told him the good news of Jesus. And as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here's water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but he went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. The word of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, maybe there is truth in it that we are either missionaries or in need of one. By this word, show us both. By this word, convict us and confront us, transform us and give us peace, that we might be better able to follow Christ and better able to share Him with others. In Christ we ask. Amen. So it's thought that the author of the book of Acts is Luke the physician, a man who at some point traveled with Paul on his missionary journeys. He also wrote, we are pretty sure, the Gospel of Luke. It is possible that Luke the physician is a Gentile from Troas, and if so, that would make him the only author of a book in the Bible who is Gentile. That may not be accurate, but it does seem to fit, as one of Luke's distinctive traits is a deep concern for the outsider and the outcast, the poor and the needy. We see it through his writings, but maybe nowhere more evident than this text this morning, the story of Philip, who is given most of the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, and then he's not mentioned again in the New Testament. Philip, at the direction of a guiding angel, is told to go to a certain road that connects Jerusalem with Gaza. It's called a wilderness road, which has intrigued scholars because it's not a desert route. It's a well-traveled road, and it's pretty safe. We'll come back to that in a second. Philip follows the directions. He meets a man who is given two descriptors in the story by Luke. He is Ethiopian, meaning he is a non-Jew. He's even non-Roman. He is an outsider. And he is a eunuch, a man who has been cut. The word literally means alone in bed. Specifically, it was applied to men who were castrated for the purpose of being around royalty. The idea is that like bulls or dogs, men were safer after the procedure. That removing the parts that made males male rendered them neutral, hence the word neutered, or the Latin word for this is to cut, spado, from which we get the word spade. Now, if you're keeping score, you can't get much farther outside the lines than this. An African man who has been cut, though this man works in service of a queen named Candace, and we're told he's important. He's in charge of the treasury, which is a good job, but arguably not worth the job requirements. We're told that he made a pilgrimage to Jerusalem to worship, perhaps indicating that he seeks to be a convert or at least an admirer of Judaism. He seems to be seeking religious truth, though in that day it is almost certain that eunuchs were not allowed in the temple, so we're not sure what it means that he went to worship. He's now on his way home, which may be where the idea of a wilderness road comes in. When you're a Gentile eunuch on your way home from a pilgrimage to a place you weren't allowed to enter, maybe every road is a hard road. Maybe that's Luke's way of saying, for this guy, it's all wilderness. It is worth remembering that a smooth road for you could very well be bumpy for someone else. Again, Philip, divinely guided, this time by the Spirit, stays by the chariot. As he does, he hears the man reading from the book of Isaiah. And using the opportunity, Philip asks if he understands what he's reading. And the man very wisely says, "How can I, unless someone explains it to me?" He invites Philip to sit with him, which he does. And the man asks a profound question. He's been reading from the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, what Christians have called a servant song, meaning we believe that it prophesied about Jesus. And listen to the words, like a sheep led to slaughter, like a lamb before its shearers, humiliation, who can speak of his descendants? Can you imagine how these words sounded in the ear of a man who almost certainly was forcibly made a eunuch? Even more so, if he was reading the words in Hebrew rather than in Greek, the end of the passage where we read that his life was lifted from the earth literally says instead his life was cut off. However he read it, he wonders what it means, and he asks Philip, "Is this about the prophet or someone else?" And Philip uses that moment to share the story of Jesus with him, telling him what it means. Luke says he gave him the good news, and as they travel together, the man comes to believe, and when they come to water, he says, "What can stand in the way of my baptism?" And there are two things that are important here, I think helpful for the text. The first is that in the early church, baptism essentially replaces circumcision as a mark of inclusion in the covenant. When a person became Jewish, when a male person became Jewish, they were circumcised. Christians instead, at Paul's leadership, under Paul's guidance, said, no, that's no longer a requirement. Baptism is the way that one enters the community. So you have a practice which it would be impossible for a eunuch to participate in, replaced with one in which he can. But more telling, the second thing about his question is that it's a real question, likely a very specific one. Is there a place for me? A man who can't go into the temple. A man who can't do many things. Can I be included? Is there anything in the way of my being baptized? And as an answer, Philip goes to the water with him and baptizes the man. And then, depending how you read the story, either is miraculously taken away or leaves immediately. But the Spirit leads Philip away and the man doesn't see him again. And the last detail we get about the Ethiopian is that he went on his way rejoicing. There are several fascinating aspects of this text. First is the question about what he read. Is he speaking of someone else? This is a profound thing for this man to ask. Does this text, he says, have anything to do with me? Am I in it? Can I be a part of it? Is there a place for me in this story, this book, this faith? Is there anything to stop me from being baptized? This man, an outsider anywhere he goes, he can't go in the temple. He cannot serve in the military. He cannot get married or have family. Does any of this mean something for me? And Philip says yes. He sits with him. He guides him. He teaches him. Eventually, he baptizes him. I suspect many of us at some point have wondered, is my story welcome here? If you haven't wondered that, know that others do. Is there a place for me in this place we call church? Is there room for my pain, my struggles, my questions and doubts, my history, my failures, my mess? Can I find a home here? And the answer is yes. The eunuch finds a story that speaks to his story. And eventually finds out that his story is a part of God's story. That God has a place for him. That he is welcome to enter. That he can go inside. Maybe for the first time in his life, and he rejoices. It creates joy in him as it should in all of us. Another important aspect of this text is the man Philip, the missionary. Not only that he obeys God's guiding, but he sees past the borders. He doesn't just, if you notice in the story, he doesn't simply go to the chariot. The voice told him, stay by the chariot. The text says he ran to the chariot. He talks with a man who, according to his Jewish background, is unclean on multiple different levels. He sits with him, and when he sees genuine faith, he baptizes him into the faith. He doesn't consult anybody. He doesn't check with anybody. He doesn't get permission. He says, you're in. You're one of us. You're welcome. Almost certainly, this man is the first African convert to the Christian faith, and some in history have suggested that himself would be the founder of the Christian faith in North Africa. If Philip had not been able to see past the man's circumstances to his soul and his heart, he would have failed to share the good news with him. He would have failed to share what presumably changes the man's life. It's a credit to Philip that all he sees is a man searching for truth. And he enters into relationship with him. He engages him relationally, personally. He helps him look for truth, which is the very best kind of the thing we call evangelism. By the way, literally the Greek word good news. Evangelos. And finally, there's a subtle thing here. A thing that you could easily read this story and miss. Among the dramatic elements of the story, it can get lost. God sought this man out. Philip does the sharing. But an angel tells him where to go. The Spirit tells him which chariot to stay near. It seems as though God specifically wants this particular man to hear the good news of Jesus. Sure, it's a ripe opportunity. It's a favorable moment for Philip, but God targets the Ethiopian and sends Philip to him. The God of heaven and earth, Yahweh, the God of Israel, the heavenly Father of Jesus Christ, wanted a black, castrated, outcast man to get a chance to hear the good news of Christ and know that he was included in it. God did that through Philip, but at God's direction. And that should not be missed in the story. The next time you see someone, you think of an outsider, someone on the other side of normal. The next time you see someone that doesn't belong, that makes you uncomfortable, that bugs you, that possibly even offends you, remember that God loves outsiders. God exists, the gospel exists as God's mechanism to bring outsiders in. God sends believers out to find outsiders, to tell them the good news, to show them that they are loved. Or perhaps the next time you feel like the outsider, the next time life leads you to a wilderness road, and you're asking yourself, is there any place for my stuff in God's story? Remember, God loves the outsider. God went through considerable effort to redeem a man that not many others cared about, so that he too could be part of the story, literally, thanks to Luke, so that he could know the story of Christ mattered to his own story and be filled with joy. That's what God wanted for the Ethiopian man, and that's what God wants for you and for those to whom he sends us, no matter who or what they are. The cross is the place where the outsiders are welcomed in, and we find our story in his. Amen.